KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
41 degrees in Atlantic under a mostly clear sky. We look forward to be sunny today, a high near 67. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In area news, the Atlantic School Board received updates Wednesday evening with regard to district technology progress, school progress and planning, and the budget. The work session served as sort of a primer for what they can expect in the year ahead, as well as familiarization with various acronyms, which was helpful for the new school board members. Prior to making his report to the board, District Technology Coordinator Roger Warren gave new board members Allison Bruckner, Jenny Williams, and Keith Swanson, former board president Christy Pellett, and current board president Josh McLaren, new one-to-one laptop computers, the same type of laptops that are issued to students.
The reason that I'm giving you one of those right now is the fact that Christy brought hers in, Josh brought hers in, the one that they were issued about 8-9 years ago, that the school bought for them. And I took one look at it and I said, it's so antiquated, I can't update it enough to make it work right.
Warren said the technology department keeps very busy managing and repairing the district's computers and related components.
We manage and repair 1,200 Mac devices, 95 mobile devices, and those are the iPads, 125 Chromebooks, 100 Windows devices, and those are standalone Windows devices, plus the 475 one-to-one devices that include the Windows operating system. So, needless to say, we've got a lot of devices that we look at.
The technology department also handles the district's surveillance cameras and recorders. There are 45 digital cameras and assorted analog cameras. The analog cameras are located in the Washington and Schuler schools. Warren says one of the keys to the operation of cameras and computers is the district's network system, which includes fiber optics. The current bandwidth is 200 megabits, with an average of 50-60% of that used each day. The department also handles the district's phone system, which he says will need replacing in years to come. Warren said also the district has saved about $80,000 through a reduction in the number of printer copiers that are being made available.
Over the summer, one of the biggest changes we made, that probably my biggest job this summer, we went from 48 copiers down to 24. When I get growled at by staff and things like that, because it did become kind of an inconvenience, I say, well, I can point to the fact that that was about an $80,000 price tag. That's what the change made. So that would come out of the PEPL budget. Some of it was actually coming out of the general fund, but it took a lot of pressure off the PEPL budget, but it's $80,000 to start with. Basically, we can print as much as we did before, but you might have to walk a little farther to get it. We were set up for convenience and not for efficiency.
And Board Secretary and Business Manager Mary Beth Fast reported to the board they will receive budget projections next month from Gary Sinclair, who represents PMA Financial and the Iowa Association of School Boards. Sinclair will cover five-year projections with regard to the district's unspent balance.
Really, you could get 10 years worth of data about the school if you look at the historical part, and then if we look at Gary's report going forward, to get a really good snapshot of what is happening with our school's unspent authorized budget and what the history has been.
Well, the Cass County Board of Supervisors Wednesday heard from Julie Florian, Program Director with the Health Promotion Strategies from Dow Cities, a Dow City that is, on making the decision to go tobacco and nicotine-free campus. The county already has a tobacco-free policy pertaining to the courthouse grounds and inside the building, as well as several other properties. The policy, however, doesn't exclude other nicotine products such as electronic vapor cigarettes or vaping, nicotine pills, gum, or other such means of ingesting nicotine. Among the other forms of nicotine available on the market, according to Florian, is nicotine water and Sigafizz, which is kind of like the old-fashioned Pop Rock candy many people grew up with, except that this contains 3 milligrams of nicotine.
There is no laws, there is no FDA regulation on these products, but they can, someone can come in your meeting here and just start vaporizing with the e-cigarettes if they would like to, because there's no ruling that people cannot do that. So even your employees could sit at their desk and use an e-cigarette within your building.
Florian says the supervisors can set an example for other businesses in the county by coming up with an expanded policy on prohibiting or limiting nicotine use by public and county employees.
There are two counties in the state so far that have tobacco nicotine-free policies. They are Scott and Lee County. The tobacco division provides free signage for policy changes. Now there's the tobacco and nicotine-free grounds sign there that would replace the smoke-free air Act signs that you have up now, or you can just leave the Smoke-Free Air Act signs up. That would be fine, too.
The board took her information under advisement. In other business, the supervisors agreed to allow the county recorder and treasurer to continue the process of hiring a person who would work in both offices and as an assistant. The person being considered, following an interview process that has already taken place, would work half the time in the treasurer's office, where they will scan documents related to vehicle registration and other matters, the other half of the time in the recorder's office. A lengthy discussion took place with regard to the candidates' rate of pay and whether they would also receive an insurance and benefits package. In the end, it was determined those details will be worked out when it comes time to appoint the individual being considered. The Pottawatomie County Attorney's Office says it will charge a Council Bluffs man with first-degree robbery of a come-and-go convenience store. That's in addition to a felony charge for allegedly robbing the same store earlier this summer. According to the Daily Nonpareil, while awaiting trial for an armed robbery on September 23rd at the come-and-go on Bennett Avenue, Justin Dilley was served with an arrest warrant for robbery on June 24th at the same convenience store. On September 23rd, Dilley allegedly robbed the come-and-go of an undisclosed amount of cash and fled to an apartment at 136 Bennett Avenue. Bluffs police found Dilley at the residence and during a search found the cash and a 4-inch knife, which police believe was used in the robbery. Later that night, Dilley admitted to also robbing the store on June 24th. An investigation then led to the second charge of first-degree robbery, which is a Class B felony. Dilley remains held in the Pottawatomie County Jail on $25,000 bond. Red Oak police report three people were arrested on separate charges Wednesday. At around 9:40 p.m., 23-year-old Jordan Charles Quick of Red Oak was arrested on a charge of simple assault. He was being held at the Montgomery County Jail on $300 cash bond. Police also arrested 32-year-old Vicente Torales Bautista at around 7:20 p.m. Wednesday on a Montgomery County warrant for failure to appear in court on an original charge of driving while suspended. Torales Bautista was being held also in the Montgomery County Jail on a $300 bond. And at around 2:50 p.m. Wednesday, Red Oak police arrested 15-year-old James Dean Kelly of Red Oak. Kelly was charged with criminal mischief in the fifth degree following an investigation into an incident at the Red Oak High School that took place last Saturday. The teen was later released to the custody of his parent or guardian. The Montgomery County Sheriff's Office says a Stanton man was arrested Wednesday night for allegedly supplying alcohol to a person under the legal age. 21-year-old Benjamin Carroll Johnson was arrested in the 200 block of Center Street in Stanton at around 8:15 p.m. He was cited into court and then released from the scene. A second straight monthly survey of nine Midwestern and Plains states suggests a slowdown in the region's economy. A report issued Thursday said the overall Mid-America Business Conditions Index dropped to 47.7 last month, as compared to 49.6 in August. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss oversees the survey, and he cited the strong U.S. dollar and global economic weakness among the reasons for the region's economic slide. The survey results from supply managers are compiled into a collection of indices ranging from 0 to 100. Any score above 50 would suggest economic growth. A score below that suggests an economic decline. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.